I know what I know. Now you know what you know.
I know you know
we
it.
We know what we know. But none of us knows a thing about youth hockey.
Hello and welcome to Youth Hockey Podcast Season 4, as you heard from the bumper music, and Episode 3. As we progress into our third week of the fourth season, you know, we're beginning to hear from you. We're beginning to hear, you know, like what you like and what you don't like, things that you might want to change, things that you might want to add into the podcast, things that you might want to subtract. And by the way, Shane, you cannot tell us to not put Coach Raleigh on the air again. That was mean, and I won't allow it. Okay, Shane, you got that. I'm making up Shane. Everybody loves Coach Raleigh.
By the way, what about There's the guy never, who said
I used to play beer league with a great guy named Shane, so I was wondering if that was him.
No, everybody loves you. Anytime I make up something where it's something like, oh, we want to hear less Coach, you know that it's made up. Every once in a while.
Who was the guy that hated us? Remember?
He didn't hate us. He hated me. That was a different thing altogether. Because our first season, Lance is like, hey, who's this guy? And he brought him up constantly because there's this email. It's like, you know, Lance knows a lot of stuff, but you can just shut your pie hole, mister. And I was like, okay, I get it. Perhaps I'm an acquired taste. Perhaps Lance is just a great guy. I agree with both of those things. I am not as kind nor as sweet as Lance. There's none of us that have the information that Coach Raleigh does at our beck and call. So I have to be kind of the color commentator. You know, I'm just kind of the in, you know, dip in with a couple of sentences because there's no way you're going to be able to keep up with what I call the heavy hitters, which are Lance and Coach. But my topics come up every once in a while, and I have to delve into them the best that I can. I hope you'll forgive me. I've got a topic again this week. But gentlemen, before we get to my topic, is there anything happening in the world of hockey that you're like, you have to reach out and say, hey, this is something that everyone should know about before we move forward in the cast?
Wow, let's see. Coach?
Well, I was just going to say people are probably getting ready to commence their new season.
So, well, yeah, and that means a lot of those prep school kids, they're about to, for the first time in their lives, leave the household. Do you have any advice for those kids, Lance? Because I know your kid left the household. Is there anything that you would say, like, hey, you know, before you send Johnny packing or Bobby packing, make sure you do this, or make sure you have this conversation, or I don't know. Is there anything you would want to reach out and say?
Wow. I mean, I had many conversations, but I think the main thing is just make sure you're ready. You know, don't rush. Don't push it. Some kids are emotionally mature and ready, and others aren't. And those that aren't are going to be miserable. That and
well, that's a really nice thing to start with, Lance. Like, I'm like, hey, Lance, give him some prep tips. And Lance is like, your kid's gonna be miserable.
Now that they've committed, you know, possibly thousands of dollars with down payments and whatnot. And
you've missed two mortgage payments. Yeah, go ahead.
Get an online account at the local fast food place because they get tired quickly of the same food at the commissaries there.
That's well, you smart. Know, people can get these, you know, credit cards now for your kid that you can, they're basically, funded. There's a lot of good ones out there. People say, you know, it's not a bad idea to start, you know, building up your kid's credit, I guess. I don't know, but, there's a number of these credit cards you can get, and you know, you just transfer money into them when they need it. And
just so I know, for the sake of generational comparison, what would have your parents done before sending you to prep school, Lance? Would they have gotten you an account at the local fast food place? Got you a Visa card?
You know what my parents would have done?
Yes.
We would have had to have hired people to drag me out of the house. But I refused to leave.
Lance loved this house.
I told you.
Yeah, I know. Lance loved it. Loved coming home to mom.
Eviction notices.
Yep. Yeah. How about you, David?
I could tell you right now, I would have had a dime because my mom was a big, got to have a dime to make that that call.
Yeah.
In case you're at a public phone, people that don't know.
Right.
Back in the olden days,
the thing's called
not everybody phones. Had these little devices in their hands was a computer and phone. And so you were out and about and, you know, people might not have had a great idea of whether you were still alive or not. So that's why you needed the dime. And I went to a school where, believe it or not, I took a train for many years to school, to and from.
Wow. And this is all new news to us, by the way.
The train station.
Coach Raleigh coming clean about something.
Totally new. This is a common thing where I grew up. A lot of kids went to these schools and there's a particular train line and the early morning commuter trains, which had a lot of students on them, were euphemistically known as the Spitball Express because that was a big thing back in the day, was kids making spitballs with paper and shooting them out of a ballpoint pen that they pulled the pen out of. And but anyway, here I digress yet again.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about too, though. Those old Bic,
yeah, exactly.
Ballpoint pens. I know. I know
there were some kids that were just lethal with those things.
But, they knew how to. They knew how to wrap. They knew how to compress.
There was compression.
Yeah.
So there were some kids that had innovated the use of orange peels pack like they're packing it.
Yeah, yeah.
An old Revolutionary War like
cannon.
It's
a ballistics test, really. I mean, the kids that went on to the armed services after going through spitballs, I believe could be our finest soldiers.
Yeah, I could tell you some stories of some things that happened with some busing that I did as well. I'm gonna have to bring that. I'll save that little tidbit. But anyway, I took this train for many years, and the train stop was a good 15-minute walk from the school. So basically, I was just with many other kids doing the same. Where we would go and, if I was to happen to miss my train home, which happened on occasion, my mother was not the type to wait around. She would just drive home. And then I had about a 4 or 5 mile walk home through down a road and through woods and whatnot. So, but the one thing I always had was it was a dime. Even if I was to spend that dime or lose it, which I did frequently, I would still get another one. So I'm pretty sure I would have been sent with a dime.
The modern kids, they get a kind of tab at the local restaurants, Visa gift cards. And Coach Raleigh got a dime and Lance got an eviction notice. So I like all those. I mean, I got to tell you, it's good to know.
Now, what about you, Randy?
If they were sending me off, what I would have had? It just would have been a brass parade because my family, they were just,
a burlap sack with.
Yeah, they were not excited about having. Yeah, they were not excited about parenting, really. my dad was out after 2 weeks. He didn't even wait. My mother and stepfather were like I said, they just weren't very excited about parenting. They really viewed, I think, and this isn't, this is a lot of kids in the 80s and 70s. They viewed their life as being the superseding thing going on. And kids' lives were kind of that annoying hum.
It was free range.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Like, what is going on here? And, I don't want to, because my mom had kids early. I get it. She was in the middle of her life. But she would not have, she just wouldn't have been happy. I think she just would have, shut the door, collapsed on the sofa, got a gin and tonic, listen to a stack of albums, because she used to stack up albums and they used to fall down. You remember the stack of albums?
Yeah, that was a great thing to do.
Yeah, that was a great thing. Okay, that's what it would have been like at the Gifford household if I were going off to hockey camp.
Well, let me tell you, Randy, before you transition.
I just was trying to transition, Lance. You could tell.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you really quick. Go ahead. I got to tell you the funny boarding school story, like the first month of the boys being boarded, right?
Yeah.
So at Chaddock, down the road from them, not too far, was a Godfather's Pizza. So that seemed delicious. To be like when you're sick of the school food, that was the place of choice. Go to order food at Godfather's. So one night, one of my sons called me up and said, "Hey, Dad, can you order for delivery? I want Godfather's." And I'm like, "All right, fine. What do you want?" And they had just started there. And he said, "I want a large pepperoni and cheese pizza and one trestle." Now, I'm sure I told Randy
you did
this story many a time. And so, Coach, you can imagine, I was like, what's a trestle? And he's like, "Dad, it's the greatest. You got to get me a trestle." And I'm like, "I've never even heard of it. What is it?" And then maybe it's an Italian dish. I've never.
Yeah, I thought it was some type of equipment on a train, since I was speaking about trains.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I called Godfather's and I ordered them an extra large pepperoni pizza. And I said, "And do you guys sell trestles there?" And the guy's like, "Excuse me?" I'm like, "My son wants like a trestle. I think it's a dessert." And he's like, "Well, we sell cinnamon streusel." and that turned out to be that his trestle was actually a cinnamon streusel.
Right. He had not read that name properly and yet been enjoying them.
And for some reason, his parents would go so far down the line to get it for him that he didn't even need to say the word. He basically like, "Give me food, Dad, and Dad will figure it out."
Exactly.
You're a good father, Lance. You're just a good dad. I think that's yet another proof of that that pudding.
Well, thank you.
At the risk of being somewhat serious, I think that there's a great opportunity here for a couple things. Now, I guess, you know, just things like, well, have some sort of basket for all your toiletries, like your toothpaste and your toothbrush and stuff like that. Have your kids do their own laundry and learn how to do that, because in a lot of places, depending on where they're going, they have to do their own laundry. And all, you know, have a some kind of a laundry, you can get, you know, things that are sort of like laundry baskets / laundry bins where they can throw all their dirty clothes in and then take them down to wash them. And last but not least, have them learn how to, you know, cook a few meals, or just make sandwiches for themselves or whatever. You'd be amazed how many kids just have, you know, never learned any of these basic skills. And then they go away. And trust me, they will learn them on the fly. So it doesn't hurt to maybe give them a little, you know, but before your kid goes away and realizes that all they like to do is eat burgers, maybe, you know, you can teach them a few other meals that aren't just burgers. So anyway.
No, I think it's great. I mean, you want your kid to be an athlete. You better talk about how to feed themselves correctly too. I don't think that's a silly conversation to have with a kid. And the more thoughtful the kid is, the more they will benefit. So, you know, the more time you spend, when I say thoughtful, I just mean the more the message is received, I guess, the more times it's received from mom and dad, I think the more seriously they take it. You know, if it's an offhand comment, I think we're all, you know, we all dismiss those all the time. But if it's a persistent comment about, you know, being a person who's going to school to be in a sport, maybe they'll take it a little more seriously and take care of themselves better.
Yeah.
So
agreed.
So anyway, I hope that's okay. My topic is a short one, so it's good that we had a little primer here, because my topic is about how do you approach, because you know, we had tryouts just like everyone else, and this year in the tryouts there was a gentleman that came through the door. And there were many gentlemen that came through the door. I'm not trying to point out one as being more special than others. However, This was a gentleman that 2 years prior had said they would never be at this facility ever again, that they were out and they were never coming back.
They had done.
They were
180.
It was the Rubicon. They had crossed. They were no longer going to be flyers, no matter what.
Right.
And
did they come back with their tail between their legs?
They didn't have tails. I don't know how many kids do. I don't know how many parents do. All I know for sure is this dude came waltzing back in, and I didn't really know how to approach the situation, because this was someone I knew. It was someone I knew pretty well.
Right.
It was someone that I had no beef with, and I don't care where they play. You know what I mean? However, they had made it very clear that they were never coming back to Valencia to play.
And then there was a bridge out of the rink, and they burned it on the way out.
You'd think so, but no, this is youth hockey. There's no burn bridge. Everybody forgot. And they come back in. I want to know from you guys, because I'll tell you how I handled it. But first, I want to know how would you handle that situation? And this is not a big situation, guys. I'm not saying it's make or break. This kid is not going to be on my daughter's team anyway. So it's not like we're going to have to like be in daily conversations or anything, but you still can't totally avoid it. Or can you? I leave that up to both you and Lance, and then I will explain how the conversation went, but please, give me your opinion on how you handle that situation, and then I will tell you how I think I did okay, but I think I could have done better.
I think Randy said to the guy, if I'm not correct, like, hey, you look like somebody that used to play here a long time ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, I certainly did that. You got to give a couple of them on the ribs, but I'm just saying, like, you know.
Do you want me to tell you what I would do or what I'd like to do?
See, that's the conflict, isn't it? Everybody wants to do, because when somebody makes a big statement, a bold statement, we all kind of want to see that person get their comeuppance in a way. Either, you know, and if you love that person, you want to see them achieve.
Well,
I think
it depends on what the reason was. See, we don't know. You got to give us a little context here. Like when the person, when they made this, you know, glorious exit, was there some virtue, was there some racism?
No, was because their kid was too good for the rink. It wasn't because of X or Y,
right?
Well, that changes everything.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I didn't necessarily want that to be part, because if you've had experiences where it has been virtuous, where the kid just needed to go somewhere else, you know, maybe I could learn something from your experience of watching some person come back into the rink and back into the rink society, who just 2 years ago told you that they were there was a little bit more to this. Of course, there's always just a little bit more.
Right.
There's a little bit more to this that I can't tell you, but they were never coming back again. Give me your experiences. Maybe I'll learn something.
I'm trying to think. I think there would be a lot of snickering on my part if they told me I'm too good for you guys. And then he came back. I would certainly try to hold back my laughter and then try to get out in a more polite way of like, okay, so what happened? You weren't good enough?
Well, I just wonder, have you ever had a situation where
I just wanted to like affect
something
kid.
Like that?
I agree with you, Lance, but I don't want to call out the kid like, oh, your kid wasn't good enough, because that really doesn't talk about the parent and what the parent did. That's actually kind of, you know, like kind of bagging on the kid. And that's what I did not want to do. And I think I achieved that at very least. But I tried to stay away from anything to do with the kid. I can tell you that the kid went to a place and had a very bad experience in that place and wanted to come back to a place where he'd had a good experience. So from the kid's standpoint, totally makes sense. It just was a little bit weird because, as I said, it there wasn't a lot of wiggle room in the way they had proclaimed that they were not coming back to this rink. And so it just felt a little weird watching them walk back in.
Yeah, some humble pie to be eaten there. And the question is, are you going to be serving it or not?
And that's, exactly.
I get it. It's like, this is not hockey related, but I've had the experience where somebody it feels similar to me, where somebody's, said something like really egregious, and then time goes by and then you're back with them and suddenly the story is completely changed, and you want to go, wait a second, man, I was sitting right here when you did that ridiculous crap that you did and said that ridiculous crap and skedaddled on out of here. And now you're pretending like that never happened. Like, we're not going to have the story spun here where suddenly you've got a whole different version of that, because we were both there and I remember what happened. But in this situation, I'm not a big I'm sort of looking at them going, are we both pretending that that didn't happen? Because, we were both there, and that's, you acted like an idiot, and I remember. But with that said, I'm not looking to make a mortal enemy. So in that circumstance, I know if this exact thing that you are talking about happened, I would just ignore it and pretend like it never happened. And
that is very close to what happened.
Yeah.
But of course, with a little backhand on the edge of it, which is, in the conversation, I was like, the kid, really glad to see him back here again. I hope you don't see it as a step down. I did that a little, just because I was like, because he is welcoming. The kid is welcome, and the kid is a pretty good hockey player. But I did. I did what you said. Let's ignore everything. Let's do everything. But in the conversation, I did give a little, I really hope he doesn't see this as a step down, because I you don't know what he's capable of. And, I know he had a bad experience. So I hope this fulfills what he wants to do. And the dad gave me a little little smile. It was like, okay. Gifford's giving me a little Gifford's giving me a little jazz, but then I moved on. My entire thing was just to touch lightly upon the conversation, and of course he was like, no, he really thinks he can get a lot out of this year, and this and it looks like they're having a good team, and so
there was some humble pie there. It was like a guy on the way out was like, this town ain't big enough for my kids' britches anymore. We're right. Out. We're on
this
to
pond is too superstar. Small.
See you, losers.
Yeah.
And then exactly. On the way.
Later, losers.
He came back in, and suddenly it was like, no, that great development opportunity here.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Right. This rink really
has nothing to do with indoor
plumbing. You notice that?
Team.
And I'm like, yeah, I did notice the indoor plumbing. I did. And they have a snack bar where you can eat at. Yeah. Yeah. And I noticed that. That's really different from every other.
Had nothing to do with being cut. Yeah. The other team.
Exactly. It didn't. By the way, I don't believe it had anything to do with being cut. I think it was just a bad experience. I don't think.
Yeah, it was just, grass wasn't greener on the other side. And
yes,
what was there any kind of change of level that occurred in this circumstance?
Yes,
as well?
There was a change of level. And that's why I gave.
There was a level up and then a level back.
Yeah, exactly. Although, as we all know, if you are not in the first line of a AAA team, at the Ducks or the Kings, well, maybe the second line as well. You're not the third line is very often AA play. I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's dreams here, but in the experience I've seen, and it's not at all levels, obviously, but the third line of a AAA team in California can often be AA players whose parents do a lot of privates. And I don't know if I've crossed a line here, but I've seen that. Now, Lance, you've been on those AAA teams. Did you feel like your third line, or maybe fourth line is a better way to put it, was AAA or because I, you know, we weren't on the Kings or Ducks. We were just watching the Kings or Ducks, and their third lines, you know, when they went out, I was sometimes less than, you know, I don't know. But anyway, maybe I'm I have not had as much experience as Lance. Lance, please take over.
I mean, I think, I don't know, from our experience, the, you know, the Kings team was a top ranked team. Every kid on
team. That is not fair. That you had a birth year team that was playing a year up that year, correct?
Right. They were, I would say the Ducks team, like you said, it got a little thinner at the bottom. But if I remember correctly, there were four lines, and so first two lines were fantastic. Third line was average, and like you said, the fourth line probably struggled a bit at that level.
Okay, so all I am saying
is, yes,
can often be overlapping with a good line in the double A. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yes, sometimes people have said, you know, for a particular, let's say, triple A team that, the top two lines of this team have been together now for 4 years. Mm. But every year the fourth line probably going to be three new kids coming in, you know.
Yes.
That's a truism that is probably pretty true, and a lot of people have gone through that situation. I can certainly.
Well, Trevor Connolly was a double A player at the Saints, right? I mean, wasn't he that year they had the really good double A team?
He played for the Saints.
And he's one of the best players in his year in California, and he was playing double A.
Yeah, well, this is where we're getting all into California double A, and California double A is a little bit different because of all the other things that go on. There's not as much opportunity to play triple A in California for a lot of years. There was exactly three teams at a particular birth year that you could play for. And one of them was in Northern California. So it led to a lot of kids. And that's not the only reason. I mean, look, even today, there are teams that are double A teams that's their charter, who are better than a huge swath of triple A teams. And they choose to play a double A for a variety of reasons, including opportunity to go to nationals. And so there's some programs around that, you know, everybody knows could be AAA, but they specifically are doing AA for a variety of reasons. And it's not due to talent. But I think what you're really talking about, though, is just that, there's on every team, there's a variety of kids at different levels, and maybe this is the fair way to say it. There were people who we experienced who kind of had this attitude that, I will say that their kids were playing AAA, that their kids were just a cut above, and that's why they were AAA. And if they're, and any kid that was AA was playing AA because that's all they could be doing, and they weren't good enough to play AAA. And yes, I think,
but then when they came back and played with us, they were on the second line behind our kids.
That's the thing. It happens. At the end of the day, it's get kids on the ice and see how they play.
Exactly. And,
Anyway,
I think that a lot of you might have the situation where you do see a familiar face coming back in for tryouts. You might have something where you don't know exactly what to say. I say follow the coach. Just don't bring it up. Although what Lance said is also important. Maybe you should just tell him he's not welcome here, and tell him that you're gonna, and then go smash out the windows of his car and slash his tires and leave. Either one is a good idea. Yeah,
I have an example that's more along the lines of the coach's example as opposed to yours. Mine was a situation where, like you said, coach, like, are we really going to pretend like that never really happened? And that's kind of how it happened. And I'll tell you the story. I'm happy to tell you a story. Boy, this was 14 years ago, 15 years ago, but we were at a game, and I brought my nephew, who could be a little wacky sometimes. And in the midst of this heated mic game, he gets into a verbal altercation with one of the parents on the other team. And, you know, it like parents had to like hold people back, you know, and I'm trying to calm my nephew down, and other people on the other team are trying to calm him down. So anyway, so fast forward, like 4 years later, in comes this guy, walks into our rink with his son. And I remember I told my wife and me, I'm like, that's the guy that there was almost a fight. And he walked by and he pretended like he didn't know who I was. So I'm like, you know what? That's a good play. I'm riding along with him. I have never met this guy in my life. I've never seen him in my life. And
even though you full on remembered him, and all likelihood, I knew him, he remembered exactly. You.
And I, yeah. And I didn't know, did maybe he didn't remember me. Maybe he, I don't know, but he went about his business. His kid, I think, was a year younger than my kid. So he was, I mean, he became part of the club, and his kid was playing on the lower, lower birth year team than my kid. And so I saw him frequently, especially during the tryout season. And then finally, one day the dad came up and he had just this very silly, goofy smile on his face. And he's like, "You don't remember me?" And I was like, "Of course I remember you." And we both started laughing. And he's like, "Man, I apologize. You know, I was out of line." And I'm like, "Hey, I apologize. My nephew was probably out of line too." And, you know, we became good friends after that. But for at least 2 or 3 weeks, we'd cross each other, pretend like we never saw that guy in our lives.
Only Lance could turn the topic into a Disney after school special. Thanks, Lance. There's some water in my eye over here.
No, but I mean, I think like this is something when your kid does the sport for a long time, and you get to the point where your kid's been playing the sport for, I don't know, 10 years, 8 years, whatever, and they start to get towards, they start to get older and they're driving and you're not seeing them play all that much, you are, I guarantee you, going to experience, if your kid stays at it, what a small world hockey is, youth hockey. Yeah. You will, there are teams you played against and kids that your son played against, and they will be on the same team, or they will be pals, or they will be mortal enemies or whatever, but they'll see each other.
Right.
And, you know, with my kid playing on the other side of the country, it's amazing how many kids we run into that from California that we either played with or played against. And, you know, it's a small world. You're going to find that out. And, yeah.
Okay. It has come to the point story. Of the show. What? I'm sorry, Lance.
I was saying, I told the coach, I'm sure I've told on the podcast before, which kind of like made me scratch my head. We were in an airport, in a Chicago O'Hare airport, thousands of miles away from home. And the boys were wandering around looking for something to eat. And we sat down, my wife and I sat down in a corner waiting for the flight. And there were like 4 or 5 hockey kids. I have no idea where they were from. They certainly weren't from California. And as my sons walk by, I can hear them saying, "Hey, those are the Alexander twins. You see that? Those are the..." And I was like, "How the hell could these kids in the middle of O'Hare Airport know who my sons are?" But it's a small world, you know? They bump into a lot of
people. Yeah, they see each other and they play against each other, and you never know. They could end up being teammates, and they could end up being literally roommates or billet mates. Like,
well, what Lance doesn't hear is the rest of the conversation was, "Yeah, he dislocated my friend's shoulder and broke and fractured my skull last right. week."
And then his brother jumped on my broken leg.
His brother took off my own leg and crammed it down my neck. I still to this day don't know how. I believe, Lance, your kids were memorable from many standpoints, but I'm not gonna get into that with the audience, because the audience needs to know it's about time to go. And I would like to refresh a beloved segment from last week, which is AATA, except in our version, it is IDTA, Youth Hockey Edition. I definitely was the asshole. Youth Hockey Edition. Dave, would you?
I think I left out a W there, but
okay.
We're splitting hairs here.
I definitely asshole. Maybe I was more like a second language learner there. I definitely asshole. You know, so, Dave, would you like to go or would you like me?
Well, I can go. I'm gonna forewarn you though, man. This could be a tough one for people to hear.
Okay, we can lose.
This is not gonna be youth hockey one. This is going to be me as a young guy playing hockey with a bunch of people that I met here in Los Angeles when I had was still a young fella, had moved out from the East Coast and was working. I had a bunch of friends, and I ended up through various circumstances playing a variety of both inline and beer league hockey. And so I had one team that I played on, and I was definitely the ringer. Most of the other guys I was playing with were people that I had met through college, friends that I knew from college that had moved out to California as well, and various other people that they knew. And so this was like a kind of a rec inline hockey. There was a rink that used to exist. It's been closed now, but it started out with us like playing just in parking lots, and then people were like, let's make a team. And hey, do you want to play on the team? I'm like, yeah. So myself and one other guy from who was from Minnesota had both, we'd both played a lot of hockey growing up. So we were kind of like the stronger players, and then became de facto player coaches for the team. So we played in this league. I should not have been playing in the league, nor should my other friend have been playing. Like, there was guys that had just literally, you know, could barely skate on our team. And then here's two guys that played like hockey all growing up into college and juniors and whatnot. And so all year long, we beat every team. I don't think we even had a loss. Got to the championship, played a team that also had, you know, a good number of pretty good players. And but we thought, you know, hey, we're gonna smoke these guys. And the rest of our team expected that we would smoke everybody. So long story short, we get into the championship game and things are not going our way. The other team's goalie is playing very, very good. We're peppering him with shots and we're not scoring. And our goalie is having sort of a bit of a rough day, and the other team's good, you know, to be fair. And we get down, and we're down. It's the championship game. We're down. I can't remember exactly, but it was something like 4-0. And I think we got a goal or two. It's 4-2. And so we're playing. And all year long, we'd been rotating teammates or rotating lines. But we had one line that was just had a couple guys that were just god awful. And so the team had said to me, Dave, do not play them. We're down, just don't play them. And, you know, I'm like, ugh, okay. Yeah. Well, so, you know, basically I short benched the team and we were playing two out of our three lines, one line. And these are grown men on this team. They've been playing all year long, paid their money. And I'm going, no, you guys don't go on out. We're putting the first line out, the second line. There was like a spare player, I guess, who used to rotate in on this third line, and he did not play one single shift in this game. So it gets down, I think we were down like 4-2. We pulled the goalie, we got scored on. It's 5-2. There's like less than a minute left. What's clear, we're going to lose. I turn to the guy and I realize this guy has not played one single shift. I'm like, dude, go out and play. And he's just like, looks at me and goes, no, I'm not going out. And so after the game, a friend of mine says to me, hey, you know, his whole family was there. His girlfriend, his parents, they were all there for the championship game. And he didn't do one shift. He didn't put him out for one shift. And of course, afterwards, I just felt like a total douche because I had not given this guy one single shift. And on top of that, I was supposed to be, you know, myself and this other guy, we were supposed to just be able to dominate and win at will. And we didn't do it. We couldn't score. So we, not only did we lose the championship game, but I didn't give this poor guy one single shift with his whole family there to watch him. So I was definitely.
But you were kind of ordered to do that too, weren't you?
I mean, yeah, yes, my friends.
Mitigating circumstances. You're not as big of an asshole as you think, Coach. But yeah, I can see where at least the parents might have thought you were.
But you know, the perspective of it was like, you know, for him, this was a humiliating.
Yeah.
Thing that I did to him. Because he wasn't a good hockey player, and you know, but what were we playing for? You know,
we've all done
a ridiculous men's league, you know, roller hockey championship.
I know so. Everybody that's ever played a competitive sport has taken it too far once or twice. I think it's good to get these stories out there because, like I said, you're one of the nicest guys I know, Coach. And if you're carrying that around. See, I think it makes you a stronger person to carry that around.
Well, yeah. Okay. But yeah. I will also say this about this guy. Since I have no idea where the guy is, haven't talked to him in many years. With that said, this is something he did to himself. So this guy had been, he actually wrote a film that was made. And from my understanding, before this, he had been a playwright. Back in Chicago, and he so
that sounds great.
Oh yeah, well it's interesting. So one night myself and all these other friends of mine, a number of which who were writers, screenwriters, and this guy, we were all out at a well-known deli in LA, and this guy was talking about, at the time there was a show, I'm not going to say what it is, but let's just say one of the, a very well-known situation comedy that was very, very popular, and it had a number of actors on it. And, for whatever reason, we were talking about this, and the guy was saying how he had cast one of these actors in a play back in Chicago that he wrote, and how they were good buddies and, you know, best pals. And so we're sitting there, sure enough, what happens? We look over to the right, this exact actor walks in with a small entourage of people, sits about three tables over from us at the deli. And of course, everyone looks at the guy like, there's your boy. There he is. Are you calling him over? Are you waving? Guy never even looked in his direction. So we were all, from that point on, we would just constantly bring this up like, hey, when's your buddy coming over? Like, when's your friend? When is he coming out to see us play? So it's the same guy that I did this to. But anyway, you know, that still doesn't excuse my my horrid shorting of him.
What happened to the deli?
He should have told me, fuck you, I'm going out and playing. But anyway.
Well.
See, I thought Dave was going to end a story by, okay, we knew we were going to lose. There's a minute left. I looked over at him and said, nah, you're not
playing. Oh, Lance, you are. You see, you know how to end Are You an Asshole story. That was a nice ending, too. People who are listening, in case you're wondering, we're not always like this. These ends of the stories here, we try not to be to the greater extent. However, it does occasionally happen. I think all of us have done something in our years up against the glass where we might or might not have thought it was a reasoned and well thought out thing to do. Bringing them up, I think occasionally just helps us all along. And also, I really enjoy the fact that Dave shorted somebody an entire time in his. Just the fact that Coach Ralston has these moments just like the rest of us makes me feel better.
Never would have occurred to me that his parents were there.
No,
watching exactly. This game.
I think Coach, you're off the hook. We're taking you off the hook. Lance, take him off the hook.
No, come on. It was
come on, Lance. Take
I
him
think
up.
I only I Lance regret can take it.
The hook has been lifted.
Thank
if,
you.
If
so
only
much,
I had
Lance
a time machine,
just,
I'd go
I'm
back.
I'm sorry,
and play.
Coach. You just were taken off the hook. Lance did it, and it's over. So thank you all for listening to the Youth Hockey Podcast. We really appreciate every single one of you. If you want to get in touch with us, please get in touch with us at youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. As usual, if you mention Coach in a review of the show, you will get a shout out on the show. I've been saying this, Coach, but nobody's been mentioning you recently. I don't know what to do. What should I do more than a shout out? Should we like send a like a roll of stamps?
I am ambivalent.
Okay. Coach is going either way on this one. Lance, can you think of any like I don't know, incentives we could give out or something like that? Like a personalized hockey puck? I don't know.
I was going to say maybe an autographed penny.
No, there you go. Whatever works, guys. We would love to hear from you, and we'd love to see you on the boards. So thanks for listening, and we will see you at episode 4 next week.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.